The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I tell you what, boys, I am rough. I'm feeling so rough. And do you know what told it to me? When I got up this morning, Steve said, yeah, you were wrecked last night. And you only think everyone else is wrecked with you because you're wrecked. And yeah. It turns out it was just me.
Yeah. The big giveaway is when I can't have been drunk. I can't remember anything.
I couldn't remember anything. Yeah, so basically, Pete and Steve are here. Paddy's not turned up again. Yeah. What's wrong with Paddy? He always gives an excuse, doesn't he? Yeah. But, a lot of stuff last night I can't remember. Mm. I just can't remember it. Stuff like, apparently Steve showed me a picture of his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I said she was lovely. And I don't even remember any of that.
Wow.
Okay, firstly, she's not my girlfriend.
Secondly, it's a bloke. Yeah, it's a fella.
Apart from that, you're a squad.
Yeah, it's called Ralph. Who is it then? Where is she?
I've not even been on a first date with her yet.
So
I was saying, I'm going on a date with her tomorrow.
Basically, Steve showed you a picture of a woman.
Yeah, he's hoping to go on a date with. He's never met her or had any communication with. It was a picture of like some model from the internet. Yes, that's who I'm going to go on a date with. Just highly deluded. Oh, well, I've been following her around and I've been sending her messages on Twitter and stuff and on Instagram. Yeah. She hasn't responded, but we will go on a date soon. Yeah. One day, she will see me. It may be in a court where she gets a restrictive order on me, but she will see me. Anyway, so podcast. Let's crack on with this then. So, have you called Amanda Holding yet, Pete?
No, I haven't. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I will do. Is that the first thing on the agenda?
Yeah. Sorry. Don't feel rough. You know, sometimes what's worse than if you make a loss on a stock, right? That's quite bad. But when you miss out on a huge rise,
yes,
that's also as bad. And you know, have you heard of Cathy Wood? Have you heard of her?
I have.
So she's a hedge fund manager in the US, high-tech hedge fund. Yeah. And she sort of invested, did really well from 2020 up until 2021 when the end of the bull market happened.
I think we all did, didn't we?
Yeah, she was investing in all high-value sort of tech stocks like Tesla. All these companies that people say were overvalued, but they're full of hype, you know, in America, all the big tech stocks. And, of course, they've had a hammering since the bear market started, right? And she's not about valuations, basically. You know, it's not about that. When you're talking about high, you know, tech stocks and things of the future, you don't really put valuations on them because they're not value stocks, they're growth stocks, you know? And so, but she decided in October last year that one of the stocks in her portfolio, in her ARK Innovation Fund, was overvalued. That's odd for her because she never really talks about valuation because she said, no, they're not. They'd be, you know, this is not, you're not thinking about the future. They may be overvalued now, but they're not in the future. And she's always said that. But she decided one of those stocks was overvalued. In October 2022, she sold NVIDIA, right? Mm. NVIDIA had just made, basically, as market cap has gone by $220 billion in a day to 2 days ago. Literally, wow, she sold at the bottom of the market in October. If you look at the chart of NVIDIA, it comes down, she sold, and it's gone up, and it's gone from let me see, $300 billion in value to $1 trillion since October.
Why has it gone so up? Sorry.
Exactly, we get on to that. It's all about AI.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Because they are the chip maker that will be powering a lot of the AI, apparently. And so they came up with revenue a couple of days back, the beat estimates, beat forecasts. But it's still, I don't know what it is, it's like 10, 12, 12 it's multiples of his revenue already, but it's gone up even further. And so, but she decided that stock, of all of them, was overvalued. She'd sold it, and it's the best performer that she'd never held, basically. Wow. So, but we're talking about AI, and it is worrying, and I think, if you're feeling rough, or whatever, it doesn't matter, we won't be here soon. I honestly think the robots are taking over. I mean, AI is nothing like it. It can learn. Like I said, it's artificial. It can learn faster than we can.
Yeah. And doesn't have hangovers.
Yeah, it doesn't have hangovers. And in fact, if we have one advantage, it is that, we have emotion. Yeah. And people say that's the advantage it has over us. But no, hang on, sometimes you can't, I suppose, well, momentum maybe plays. Is there a way of manifesting? When you see a little small microcap stock doing well because people are loving it on Twitter and hyping about it, that's basically emotion, right? AI hasn't got that, but I'm sure that you'll learn that, because if you get momentum in a stock and the share price starts rising, AI could pick that up anyway. So that's the manifestation of emotion, of excitement of a stock would show through in the share price moving, surely. And it is scary, isn't it? How is there nothing now that, I mean, I was talking about earlier on, we talked about ChatGPT and Bard. I put them both together, Bard, which is Google's, and ChatGPT, and I was comparing how good they were together, and I was putting just, I was getting RNSs and chucking them in there. One I did with XP Factory, we'll talk about in a bit. We're going to boom battle bar later, but we'll talk about XP. I just put his final results, highlights in there, and chucked it in there. I said, write a blog post on this, right? And see if it'd come out. He wrote a blog post, very well constructed, and even came up with a statement from the chairman, which I didn't post into the actual thing. So it must have scrolled the internet and got that out.
Wow, that's good.
I did that in like 30 seconds. And I also did it with the Polarian. I put something there. I also did it with a mining company because they had loads of drilling grades. And sometimes when I have to do top five most read RNSs podcasts, for example, there's a lot of, some of the companies are drilling, drilling dirt in Africa or something, and they found some stuff in the mud. And you know, it's boring, sort of figures. And I thought, summarise this.
Yes,
and
exactly,
I put that in there, you know. And so I haven't used it a bit, but I just see how quick it was. But I'm thinking, how can I use it? How can I use it for me? I don't know how I can, because at the start they were saying manual or low-skilled workers were a threat. But now they're saying it's the very opposite. They're now saying it's high-skilled. It's everything with lots of data. So from law to medicine to all this stuff, that's a threat. So in fact, all areas of work is a threat.
Actually, law, I can see when it really taken over, not taken over, but really hurting. Yeah, because
it's all data.
It's all data, yeah. It's all just finding out which works for what. And as soon as it understands what works for what in different cases in the past, that it's kind of got all the information ready.
This looks at precedent. That's all law is about, isn't it? You find a precedent and say case law and say this has been done before and so on and so. And same with drugs, though. If you look at probability, if you look at clinical testing on humans, it can go through loads of data on similar drugs and all that stuff and say, well, it's probably not going to work on this or this dosage is not going to work at that level or whatever. And it can work that amazingly fast. Mm. So there's nothing that it can't do. So I genuinely think, and the scary thing is, right, the big companies are championing it. Mm. And they're championing it basically to be kings of their industry and to make more money. But this is a detriment to the human race. So do they really understand that we are now... In fact, Elon Musk said recently, we are now on the verge of super artificial intelligence, which could take over the people and the world. But yet, these companies are championing it, and they're not seemingly put any guards in place to stop it because they're owing money. But hang on, money doesn't matter if the human race is dying out, does it?
Isn't it scary that years ago we were worried about whether Back to the Future would come true and hoverboards would be around, whereas actually we should have been worrying about the Terminator films?
Yeah. But it's always in sci-fi. The sci-fi is. I mean, if you think out there, put out this far-fetched things you can think about but as a logical lineage towards it, then eventually it does happen. And with AI, it's very scary. Can you see it not taking over anything? I mean, you were saying about filming. In fact, there's people now doing AI with TV, video editing, all that kind of stuff. And like I say, it never comes up with an unfocused shot, does it, AI? Because it'll always focus on edits.
Me and Pete were talking about that earlier, and I think, things like focus and things, it's really fine detail where a computer can easily do that job. But it's the creative side, which I'm not saying it's not going to get there, but it's not quite ready because I have looked into a few of them. It does an all right starter job. It's a good assistant. It's not quite there ready to...
But things
take
move
over
so quickly. I think it's only a matter of time before that sort of stuff does exist.
Yeah, true.
Well, one area that obviously I can't see the AI is taking over is obviously manual tasks that, I don't know, plumbers, sparkies, carpenters, builders, all that sort of stuff. Obviously physical labour.
Yeah, but originally they thought... there is machines that can build walls, aren't there?
Yeah.
But you need efficiency gains and benefits.
And from a resource point of view, you don't need as many on site because you can get robots doing stuff, machines doing things, of course, and they learn and improve, and they don't have sick days and hangovers and all that. So, it will impact things, but not completely take over. Whereas there are some vast number of jobs, I think, that will just become redundant, which is kind of concerning. Yeah.
Well, I'm just now, and it's still pacing it out. It's still going through. It's everything, right?
Even podcasts.
I said, what sectors will AI help, right? Number one is healthcare, diagnostics, drug discovery, personalised medicine. Number two is finance. And did you see that recently? There was a fund manager, AI fund manager, 3 months beat one of the best fund managers in the UK.
Yeah.
Number three is manufacturing, optimised production process, improved quality control. Because, of course, you've got a human check into stuff. Humans get tired and bored, and they've got imaginations. They want to look at other things. They miss things.
Yeah.
Computers will miss that. Retail, can personalise customer experiences, products, of course, when you're online and stuff like that. Transportation, logistics, I can autonomous vehicles.
Education,
energy and utilities, I can optimise energy distribution, agriculture, cybersecurity, entertainment, AI can personalise content.
Yep.
Is there anything... It's important to note that AI's potential extends beyond these sectors. Well, that is pretty much everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
we won't be here soon. You have like I was watching an ITV thing on AI, and literally how they can, within seconds, you just put your voice in and put images of you, and it can come up with a video of you talking. Yeah. And it's like,
and
you
write the script and do
it's you.
Do you know what I'm looking forward to? AI food, printing food.
Printing food.
Okay, Steve. What would you go for first?
I fancy a cheeseburger. 10 minutes later, it's printed out.
Yeah. I don't think it's a printer, Steve, is it?
Well, I'd be like a 3D printer, but a food printer. Mm. That can't. That must be possible.
Well, they are making meat in labs. In fact, there's a small little company, BFSA, listed at the moment, which is doing lab meat in the UK now. It's AIM listed, £17 million market cap. But I was listening to it. For people who actually are a fan of BS, because there's a few out there, it's worth listening to the Ian King podcast. He had an industry expert on talking about the meat industry and all this stuff. And he was saying there's so many now startups, lab meat startups, that it would be hard to pick a winner. There's so much competition there. And also, not only that, Beyond Meat started off, that was a bit Beyond Meat share price is like crashed now. When it did five times from IPO, multibagged, and then it all just crashed back down because there's so much competition out there now. And almost the fascination with lab meat has gone away for a little bit.
Well, I think the fact Beyond Meat sets as premium and they're very expensive, whereas there's actually a lot of really good, cheaper alternatives around now, isn't it? Which actually aren't a million miles off from what Beyond Meat is.
There's a lot of competition out there. So, I mean, people say Champion BSFA, which is BSF Enterprise, is called. But be careful because there are lots of competition out there. Anyway, do you know what? So we're going to Paddy, Paddy isn't here. And in fact, Pete, you'll be the almost proxy Paddy, right?
Okay.
But the UK is set to win a battle with Spain to host a multi-£1 billion electric car battery plant in Somerset. That. There we are.
Yeah.
So that's something not going to the EU. I know you're very anti-Brexit. I'm not. There's the only reason why I voted for Brexit because I didn't want the Europeans telling us what to do. Right. That's it, basically. I just wonder. I think we're, quite. There's a lot of invention and innovation has come from the UK. I still believe that. I think I don't be tied to the, apron
How's
strings.
How's that worked out for you?
It's all right, isn't it? But you always the negative stuff.
Who do you prefer telling you what to do?
No one.
The Tory government.
No one. No, I don't want them either.
Well, that's what's happening at the moment.
Yeah. Hang on a sec. And one other thing then. Britain is no longer expected to suffer a recession this year, nor will it have the weakest economic growth in the group of G7 countries. Okay. And very dramatic change. The IMF said that. It's the International Monetary Fund. And not only that, right, just another one for Brexiteers here. Persistent inflation has pushed Germany into recession.
Yes,
so the biggest economy in Europe is now in recession. The UK is not in recession. It's been turned around. It's not going to be the slowest growing in the G7. So if there's apparently a third of all price rises are down to this is other factors. But saying several universities came out this week saying apparently you can put down a third of price rises down to Brexit. But because we do have the highest inflation in the G7, pretty much.
Hasn't Kwasi Kwarteng moved to Germany?
Is he? That'd be hilarious if he had. If he got economic jobs in
believable.
Germany. Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng got to Europe.
The dream team.
The dream team got to Germany. Yeah. It's now a recession.
They just move around Europe, destroying economies. Maybe that was the tactic. Fair play.
What I'm saying is, nothing's about black and white, is it?
No, of course.
I mean, there's problems, of course, with Brexit. A lot of problems. I mean, but, it's not all sunshine and roses if you're in the EU either, because Germany, the biggest economy, is suffering a recession. So, so what does that say? One other thing, Jeremy Hunt has told Sky News he is comfortable. He's comfortable with Britain being plunged into recession to bring inflation down.
Mm.
He's comfortable with that. He's comfortable with a bit of because he won't lose his job, will he?
Yeah.
So you're comfortable, mate, because other people lose their jobs. You won't, will you? Yeah. Have you noticed he's laying the pathway now for, like, recession is going to happen? I mean, if you look at the bond yield, which is a more, accurate sort of predictor of recessions, and in that, I think it's predicted the last 10 recessions where the 2 10-year yields have inverted, basically. But that has predicted the last 10 recessions. Jeremy Hunt said there won't be a recession. Who are you going to believe? The bond yield curve or the inverted yield curve or Hunt? Mm. And now he's starting to say, well, I'm comfortable if a recession happens because it'll bring inflation down. In fact, it's probably the only way it's going to happen. The only way, prices will come down. You got a call from Derby there. Who's calling me from Derby? That's annoying. That's one thing what AI will do at. Spams. Be spam AI calls non-stop, won't they? Thousands of them every day. Imagine that, being brought down, the economy being brought down just with millions of AI spam calls. And you can't even pick up your phone because every second is a spam call. And you can't block the calls fast enough. That's AI.
You bring AI in to block
AI
the calls then, don't you?
We'll handle your calls and reply in your voice. I think you're right, Jeremy Hunt is comfortable with that, but I think it's like death by a thousand paper cuts, isn't it? Why are we sort of, I don't know, is it, how long are we just going to go on for? We're not going to be in recession, we are going to be in recession.
Yeah.
You know,
well, he did say a while back, we're not going to recession. He's proud he's not going to recession, but now he's starting to sort of say he's almost laying the groundwork to say we are going to have a recession and it's going to bring prices down. But when you think of it, we're at now, what, 0.1% growth? We're virtually out there. Well, if you have a review of the figures, you'll probably find we are in recession, and you won't notice it walking on the street. Nothing will change. The clouds won't get any darker or something like that. You won't actually notice that 0.1 contraction.
Also,
or whatever.
From a stock market perspective, it's kind of priced in.
Oh, yeah. Now. It's been going down for, we are now 626 days from the high of AIM.
Yeah.
626 days from the high of AIM. It's like, that is literally almost 2 years now. So September was the top of the market, the high of the market.
Don't we feel it?
Yeah, and it's been, honestly, for me, emotionally hard every single day. I feel like, I feel like in a Winnebago and just leaving and travelling the world for a year. But as soon as I get in the Winnebago and cross the channel there, I bet the markets start rallying. Yeah. Oh, let's go back home quick. The markets are rallying.
Sell the Winnebago.
I know, but
markets are waiting for me to sell. As soon as I sell, then they'll go flying.
That's true.
That's the AI bots watching Steve. He's still holding. Yeah. Let's take the market down a bit further.
Wait.
Let's take it down a bit further. He's having pain because he's not investing anymore, but he's still holding.
I know.
Right, so let's go up.
I looked at my portfolio the other day, and it's funny how time just flies by, isn't it? And I had one transaction in the last 12 months. I've done very little buying or selling.
That's to a certain extent. Do you know what it's something like? Two-thirds of the money is sitting in market money funds, basically high-yielding sort of like government bonds in America. There's so much money sitting on the sidelines. Yeah. So you see, because most people are sold out of the lows and they're all out and sitting waiting there. So you understand when a market starts to rally, how it powers up even further than it should do because everyone piles into it normally. And it won't be the rally just off the bottom. It'll be when it's a confirmation rally. It's been rallying for like 2 or 3 months and everyone starts saying, hey, stocks are going. And the markets are rallied by... people start piling in late, that powers it even further. But
going back to your Sally Wood Nvidia thing, that's what the reason I haven't sold a lot of my stocks is that FOMO, one of those stocks being like an Nvidia, because some of them have that potential.
Yeah.
And so you're like, you don't want to be out, and it's difficult. And it's difficult to sit here and hold, but.
Yeah. Well, someone said to me about interest rates went up, of course. Someone said, well, energy and food is what, has gone up pretty much. It's coming back down now. But someone said, but interest rates don't affect those because people need energy and food. And they do, actually. Interest rates do affect energy and food because if the prices have gone up with everything and then you put interest rates up, so you are being squeezed, not only what you buy at the supermarket, but, in your loans or your mortgages, then you're going to buy less. So that means less is produced. That means less energy is needed to be produced. Yeah. Therefore, there's more, there's an oversupply of energy, the costs go down, supply and demand. So it does work. It's a long-winded, indirect, clumsy way. It's quite a blunt instrument, interest rates, but it does sort of work. To bring it down, you need a low economic growth, or slowing down of the economy. And that means people will go out of work, and that means recession. So it will happen. The recession, it's always brought the prices down. So, it will happen. But I got to laugh, right? Do you see supermarkets? I mean, I understand their margins, supermarkets. They sell a lot of volume, very low margin, But the Sainsbury's guy came out yesterday, Summit and Rogers, and he said, we are not profiteering from high prices. Yeah. Some people say that they are actually putting their prices up. Brands are. I mean, a lot of brands are, these big brand companies, Procter Gamble or all these kind of Unilever, they have lots of brands. They are putting their prices up. I know, and the supermarkets are going to argue with those. But he said, we're not profiteering from high prices. So last year, they made, £690 million in profit for Sainsbury's. And I said, well, hang on a sec. So you're making a profit, right? £690 million, and you're selling stuff at higher prices, basically, than we were last year. So which part of that isn't profiteering from higher prices? Because you are selling stuff at higher prices, and you are making a profit. So I know it's a fine line. They're not making a huge amount of, isn't margin, but you are making profits off high price stuff.
No, his argument is he's not excessively profiteering.
Yeah, well, you should say that.
We should
say that. But you can't afford to do that, can you? Because there's a lot of competition in supermarkets.
No, exactly. But their costs have gone up, so that has to be reflected in.
But you
could
say to him, Simon, are you making a profit? Yes, we are. Are you selling things at a higher price? Yes, we are.
Yeah, because of higher costs, but not excessively higher costs.
I know, okay.
It's a higher price. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. But they're not making a loss, are they?
Oh, I know. No.
There are people who are losing money. Individual people. No, I agree with that. Listen, people, are, you know, companies
have to.
Shareholders
to please.
Exactly. So that's the most important thing. Yeah. No, but you know, what I'm saying is that there's people who are losing money. You know, individuals are losing money because their mortgages are very high. Yeah. People are losing money. I mean, companies, a lot of companies are not. Yeah. That. So, okay. So, do I want to talk about Escape Hunt, Destiny's Farm? Destiny's Farm first, because we're going to Escape Hunt and we'll probably talk longer. I think it's quite interesting this week, right? The CEO stepped down, right? No reason was given, personal reasons to do something else.
With immediate effect.
Yeah, immediate effect. And you think, oh my word.
Yeah.
And then the share price dropped like 12%, right? Mm. And I think, I understand why people would worry. But you have to understand, they've got two late stage assets. These assets have gone through, you know, phase one, phase two, preclinicals, first of all, then phase one, phase two. These are independent, validated studies, validating them. They've passed both of these. There's nothing wrong with the products there, or nothing wrong with the company. It's something personal that Neil Clark has done is the reason why he's stepping down. Maybe he's got a job somewhere else. Maybe he's tickled the secretary at the Christmas party. I don't know. I'm not saying
that's
he has. Yeah, that's purely speculation. Okay. What I'm saying is, it's of a personal nature. He may have found another job. I don't know. I don't know what it is. My thought is this, right? The interim CEO, right? She is more experienced than him. So she's standing in, all right? She's more experienced than him. And I think, let me just look where she works. I'll give you... He basically has a background at university at bioscience, but he's pretty much been an accountant for big companies all his life, you know, Neil Clark. Nice guy. I've spoken to him several times. But he's not been working in the biopharma industry, apart from being CEO, but he's not been working actively, you know. This is Dr. Deborah Barker, and she's a doctor. So she worked for Novartis, huge biopharma company. Roche, huge biopharma company. GSK, huge company. And also now she's in with other sort of companies. She's actively in that area. She's the next CEO. She's the interim CEO. I'm hoping she is the next CEO. And oddly, when the drop happened, all the board have been buying stock.
I saw that.
Right?
Yeah.
And in fact, the chairman's been buying stock after Neil's gone now, twice. Now he's got about close to 300,000 shares, which is like close to about 80, 90 grand worth, right? Which is a decent chunk of stock, isn't
it? What does the CEO, the ex-CEO, own?
He doesn't own a lot of stock.
Right.
So this is speculation. This is my thought.
Mm.
They're looking for a deal on their second asset, and they did say on their AGM meeting 2 days ago, after Neil had gone, was it Friday or Thursday? But it did say, our priority is to find a partner. We're in active discussions right now on this drug, XF73, and we are looking for a big upfront payment. And because the last one didn't have a big upfront payment, it was $1 million. But this one, this drug, has double the size of the market. It's £1 billion market potential. I think they've got a deal in the wings. I think it's happening. I think part of the deal was this lady coming in, the CEO.
The condition of the deal would be to get rid of the non-buyer.
I think it's a connection of hers somewhere. I think they're buying stock. I think, and they've said all along, they're confident the deal will be done before the end of 2023. Right. And I think they're buying stock now, because they know in a month or two's time they're not allowed to. They think discussions right now.
That's a positive spin on the story.
They're allowed to buy stock now because nothing's been signed. But if they're very close. They've said all along, and Neil said all along, that what we want is we're in discussions with companies, right? And what we want is two or three companies to be in discussions with. So basically, it's like a bidding war for your house. You're selling your house. If three people want the house, obviously you push the price up. You know?
Is that not classed as inside trade? And then no one wants to
sign it. No, they've said it all along. No, they've been honest. They've said all along they're in discussions.
Okay.
So they haven't signed anything.
But I find odd about the announcement is that they could have given more clarity, because they could have said the reason he's stepping is that we don't feel he has the...
Yeah, but that's not nice for him, is it? It's like he's been there since the IPO, you know? So
would give more clarity, wouldn't it?
So the announcement was Dr. Deborah Barker appointed interim CEO. Head of AGM, Neil Clark, has decided to step down. Has he? Why would you do that? Hang on. Why?
Hmm.
If you've just landed a deal on your first asset, right... And you've raised money, and I know there's a lot of criticism because the share price went from 30 to 60 pence on that deal landing, and all of a sudden they raised money at a discount. Mm. So that really took the steam out of it and the wind out of it. Sorry, and shareholders were annoyed because that should have seen the share price take off, and it didn't. And created the share price because they did a discounted fundraise. But now they've got, you know, funds that will last until H2 2024. But so they said, Neil will also step down from the board with immediate effect. Immediate effect, man. Yeah, so Dr. Deborah Barker, who's currently non-exec, will become interim CEO until a permanent replacement is appointed. So, yeah.
I know what you're saying, but equally, there could have just been a falling out, a clash of personalities whatever, and effectively he's walked or he's agreed to walk or whatever, and they've parted company. So it may well be something as positive as a deal in the offing or something in the background, but then, who knows? We don't know. It's speculation. It's disappointing to see the drop when the announcement came, but at the same time, is that a drop opportunity?
Yeah, well, I think it is. I mean, listen, these discussions are ongoing, like I say. They're only going to get closer to a deal. Mm. You know, they've got cash till the second half of next year. They'll do a deal before that, because they said before the end of this year. And I think it is an opportunity. It's starting to sort of tick up a little bit, and then all of a sudden. But I think honestly, they're allowed to buy shares now because they haven't signed anything. They've told the market they're in active discussions. If they know that, say they're in discussions for two companies, if they know one of those is going to land in the next few months, they can't buy any more shares closer to that deal. Mm-hmm. So they can do it now. They think, we know something's going to happen. Why would they be buying stock now? It's not just to say, oh, look, there's nothing wrong with the company, share price has dropped. It's people only buy, regardless of what, sometimes you get an owner-operator who literally will buy stock and say, it's a good company, but you only buy stock because you think you're going to make money.
Yeah, but equally, playing with your theory, you think if that is the case, surely they could shuffle the pack. The CEO could move to a different director role or whatever, and they could, promote Deborah Barker because she's a better fit or whatever. But leaving with immediate effect, not buying any more stock, because he's not, he's not a director now, so I suppose that wouldn't be publicised. But
he could have bought more stock.
It's a bit odd, isn't it? Him leaving like that. If there is a deal.
Let's go through what could it be. Let's say they go into the office and they discover him killing goats in the office, right? They say, Neil, you're not allowed to do that in the office. I'm allowed to do killing goats. I'm the CEO. Yes. Yeah. You've killed four goats in here. I don't care.
Okay. But that's one option.
That's why we personal stuff like that. Like I say, it could be an argument about a deal going out or something.
Banging saucepans in the office, really.
I hate it when people do that. Yeah. It's so annoying.
And they're like, Neil, stop doing that.
Or maybe he's coming dressed as a clown 6 days in a trot. Neil, you can't dress as a clown. Why not? I like these clothes. They're comfortable, man.
What's your problem?
But would he be nicking money? I doubt that. He's not the CFO. He hasn't got a hand. It's not a cash business.
Yeah. So maybe he's refusing to wear clothes when he comes to the office, just completely naked the whole time.
Yeah.
We can't do it. You're the CEO. It's
just unfair.
Sad fact is, you never find out. You never, ever find out.
It's frustrating.
This often happens on AIM. The CEO will go, and you never actually find the story behind it. I'll talk to people on podcasts, the CEO for like a year. All of a sudden they're gone. I never speak to them again, and it's gone. That's it. I never speak to them again. Yeah.
Does that make you feel sad?
No, I feel like...
You should have a goodbye or something.
I find it really hard to broach it with a new CEO. What happened to the last guy then? No one's ever said anything. Know. I know. Yeah. But I just think people always think it's a negative thing. I think if you think about it, I think it's positive. She's got more experience. Mm. She's been brought in from Nunizek.
Well, I read the RNS and I thought, that's a positive news because she does sound... a fit for the company and the direction of the company, and then you see a 12% drop. You're like, oh, okay. Nobody else thought that, obviously.
Twice now. So she bought stock in the company at 33 pence. Nick bought twice, 218,000 stock shares, and then he bought some more as well.
What did the share price do on Friday? Because I missed that. The announcement's Thursday.
Right? I just went up by 1% or something. Very odd, but I just think it's a good thing, to be honest.
It's an interesting story, and when I said the one transaction I think I've done the last 6-12 months is that. I bought some of that.
Do you know what? It's one of those stocks I have little doubt, honestly. I mean, if you look back, I said, go back to the top of the bull market, it was 180 a share. It's now 30 pence, and yet they've got a deal on one asset, didn't have it back then. They got more cash and they're going for a deal on the second asset. This is the bear market. People say, well, there must be something wrong. No, this is what happens in bear markets. You will find you can pick up companies that are going to be multiples of this when the bull market starts. And people are just too scared to, because that's the only way you make really good money in the stock market is by taking advantage of what the bear market offers up. There are excellent companies right now that are very cheap. They are. I mean, and that is an excellent company. There's no company I know at that level with that cash on two late-stage assets going to phase three. That's phenomenal. Yeah, yeah. I know companies, you know, triple or quadruple in market cap with one asset in phase one. They've got two in phase two going to phase three.
But again, going back to the point, it's annoying that they don't give more clarity of why the CEO's left, because you listen to all that and you think, why would anybody of their own accord step down or do anything, or, you know, unless he's doing...
I let the chairman just come out and say, well, listen, we sacked Neil because he's a dick. He's an absolute dick. It gets my bloody nerves. I've sacked him. Just say that. He come in, he's a pain in the arse. That's why I've sacked him. I'm the chairman. He thinks he's the big boy. I've sacked him because he's a dick, right? He gets my bloody nerves. Every time I come in, so annoying he is. I love that one. Just in an RNS. That's why I sacked him, right?
If it's as simple as a board having a vote of no confidence in the CEO, they should say that.
Well, it may be that. We are now literally, you know, we are at the low that's ever been. It IPO'd. It IPO'd at 160 a share back in 2017. And when you have a lack of performance in the share price, after a while the board will say, the share price is not performing, out.
Simple. No, but he would have gone before.
Going into a big deal was to get him out before he goes into a big deal. And and last time it was annoying that I raised money while the deal was done, the last one. This one won't happen because they've got cash and there's be a big upfront payment in cash.
But maybe this is a hangover from that period. They wanted to get rid of him before that deal, but whatever. They've had to wait until that deal came through and whatever, and then they had to wait a few months and now this has happened. I don't know.
Yeah. What it is, it's largely the markets, it's about AI and stuff, it's largely an emotion of sentiment, herd mentality and sentiment. And, you can see stocks rallying with crap fundamentals, but there are a small cap company and there's a lot of people on Twitter ramping it up. And that's basically, I know, there's a couple of companies, I always look at hope potential stocks, these are little stocks that could do very well. In fact, now, we've seen Vesarion in the last few weeks.
No.
I mean, it's created, Neil's gone. Neil,
if he's another Neil.
if you're a Neil and you're CEO, beware, all right? Because Neil,
what did Vesarion do again?
Graphene. Remember, I turned back in the day. He went from 13 to one with 13 pence to 180.
We did quite well on that, didn't we?
But it's gone back down. It's gone back down to 2 pence, right? In the last few days, it's gone from less than 1 pence to 3.5 pence.
Wow!
So that's from the bottom, of course, but that kind of rally. If you look behind it, they've got no money. Yeah. They've raised 500 grand the other day. Yeah. 500 grand for a listed company. How long is that going to last? And there's lots of companies like that will rally. People will not look at the balance sheets. They will not look beyond, it's rallying, I'm jumping, it's rallying. You know, there's another little company called Ondo, right? It's Ondo Tech. And it's a leak bot. It's very clever technology where it detects leaks in houses. And you think, well, who'd want that? I'll tell you who want that. Insurance companies, because the biggest claim of insurers is household leaks. And so you can tell, you put on pipes, and it can tell the ambient temperature between the leak. If a pipe's leaking, it's basically two metrics on the data. And if they don't match up properly, they can tell there's a leak going on, because it saves millions. Now, I like that as a company, right? I think they've done a deal with insurers in America or companies in America and around the... But it's still a market cap. Now, they've got very little revenue. They've got £1 million in revenue. They're valued at 70 million. They've got like £7 million in debt. I said, have you got £7 million in debt? You literally are like it's £70 million market cap coming. And they've got no cash. And yet, that is fabulously, it's a triple bagged in the last 2 years. But no one, that's all about sentiment.
Makes sense.
And all of us, but I'm saying, will AI pick up on that kind of stuff? I suppose it will, because they look at momentum of stocks. And stocks are rallying? If you just say to the AI, which stocks are starting to rally or have momentum, they could probably do that, In fact, you can do that with screeners anyway. But
that's what AIM stands for, isn't it? AI market.
Yay!
There you go, thanks so much. I'm here all week, kids.
That's it, that's good. Ondo's got 7 pence or 17 pence, and yet it's got no cash. And I said, once they raise money, I may get into those, right? So they did raise money. Oh, here we go. Let's get into them now. Because what happens when you get into a fundraise? It's usually discounted. A fundraise is very good if you're not a shareholder for two reasons. First of all, it's usually discounted, so the share price drops. And then you've got a lot of people sell because it drops anyway. And then you get a lot of people in the placing just selling quickly. Right? So you get a company with cash now, and the share price has gone down. So it's good. So they raised money. They thought, there we are. I may get into this. Right? They raised money. And I thought, what did they raise? 815 grand. They burned that in half a year last year. It's like, how far is it going to get you? That's how difficult the market is. And you think, how far is that going to take you? It doesn't make any sense. Mm. And even that was some of that was directors bought in that. I thought, if you can't raise money when you've rallied that much, it's quite worrying for companies who are huge loss making and they haven't got a runway for more than a year. You've always got to look at that. But, what is it, 6 months? There's a million in revenue of 6 months, pretty much, which is... They did 600,000. So nice little growth there, but it's still off a low base, and they valued it.
So what are you saying? It's one that you're steering clear of?
For now, because they've got 6 million debt, they just raised half a million. And listen, for half a year, so, in interim, it's like, but it's nuts how people are, you know, getting into it, knowing they've got, you know, period end cash was, this was 1.8 in November, right? So, and yet they burned, hang on a sec, they made a loss of, loss for the period, 2 million in 6 months. They lost 2 million in 6 months.
Yep.
So pretty much that 1.8 is gone. They raise half a million. How much is a half million going to last if they lost 2 million in 6 months? Doesn't last at all, does it? Do the math there. So, yeah, but it's one of those stocks I like, but I'm not going anywhere near it because it's rallied a lot and they need to raise money, you know? So, okay, but AI, would it get stated? Pick me a winning stock. What do you say to a chief? In fact, give me a question for ChatGP. What for stocks? What...
I think I might have done this. It comes out with, I'm not able to give you, it's a lottery out there. I can't give you the numbers.
Same as asking for literally the lottery numbers.
Yeah. Have you done that?
Yeah.
What did it say?
No.
Okay.
Have you asked for that?
No, I haven't.
Give me the lottery numbers. As an
AI probably would give you the lottery numbers probably from the previous week though.
So what have you asked it?
As an AI language model, I said, what stock will make me money on AIM UK?
Right.
As an AI language model, I cannot provide specific investment advice or predict individual stock performance. Investing in the stock market involves various risks. It's important to conduct thorough research. Typical.
At the bottom there it says, but regardless of that, buy XP Factory.
Well, that's another thing. So that doesn't make any sense now, right? So I'll compare the two, which is nuts, right? You look at like Ondo, for example, 2 million in cash. It's 17 million market cap, right? Look at XP Factory, it's 30 million market cap. It did 22 million in revenue last year from 7 million the year before. It's done 228% increase in revenue. That is like, back in the bear market, this is, when you look at, like I said to Richard, when people are looking to invest in small micro cap stocks, what you're looking for is high growth. You're not looking for like good value or dividends because that's not what you're after. You look at companies and that is high growth on real numbers. It's like they've gone from 7 million to 22 million.
That's because they expanded the estate.
But they didn't make a loss.
No, literally.
You imagine investing like 9 million into it, and you're actually going from a loss to a profit that year. And now, that's all that, you know, investment has gone in. It's sunk, it's there, it's done. So all they do now is a year of operation where they're just collecting cash now. Yeah. So you imagine that they're going to do another 84% top line next year. But there's no cost, but there's some cost, but there's no cost of building stuff, of fitting, or training staff. All that's all done. All those costs are done. So the margins will get significantly better. And even Richard said, if we do nothing next year, if we did nothing, just carried on, we'd significantly do a lot better than this year. Because he said, we opened the back end of last year mostly. We had strikes on as well. But a lot of the revenue that's going to be generated this year, it didn't start coming through until the last month of last year. And even that was spoiled by the strikes. So even if we do nothing, we'd be significantly, you know, more profitable, the margins would be better, the revenue would be higher. But we are doing stuff. We're going to open like five boom battle bars and a couple of escape rooms. So we are still expanding. But we're never going to expand at that rate again. 27. But that's amazing. 27 sites in 1 year. Mm. That's phenomenal, isn't it? It really is going somewhere. I mean, if you'd said to someone, we're going to open 28 businesses this year, you're nuts.
Yeah,
in the UK.
In this economic climate.
Yeah,
so,
and
still make a profit. Yeah.
And four escapants as well. They opened that. So they've done like, you know, 31. You imagine opening 31 businesses in a year in an economic climate, like you say. And now they're all done. It's all done. They're going to open some more this year. But they've gone to operating profit from a half a million loss last year to 1.3. And that's even with all this opening, all the costs. Now, it's like, to me, I don't understand. What did the share price do? Went up, come back down. I'll take a bit of profit off that. Stop being dicks. This is one of those companies that will honestly be a multi-bagger. And looking at the stats on the margins, it will be 200-300%, you know, in a year or so time above this. And it's like, where's the risk? We're going to boom battle bar again. Why are we going? Because we've been once, we like it. Mm. You try booking, right, on a weekend, you can't get in for months in advance. It's like, Paul Scott, another investor, was saying he's been to Oxford Street, he owns stock. He's been to Oxford Street four times. Every time he goes there, it's full. Mm. It's full. and it's a massive thing. So it's like, what's not like here? And I don't understand. I do not understand the reaction to the share price. I mean, it'll catch up in the end. In fact, Steve said yesterday, it just shows how bad the market is. You know, when a stock like that doesn't. What do you want? 228% growth. They made a profit as well, and that's and yet the share price goes up a little bit, goes back down.
Yeah.
It's only 30 million market. It's not like it's 100 million market cap already. Or the value is in there, or it's not in there. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of value to come yet.
I think my point yesterday was it's quite reassuring. I know it's not a good thing, but it's quite reassuring when you see all the other stocks which aren't doing well. It's like, well, you'd like to think that they're being pulled back because of this kind of thing, you know.
Yeah. It is crazy. But yeah. What are we playing today? We're not Megan now is so rough, she said she may not come.
What?
Well, she is rough. Is she drunk as well?
Not as drunk as you.
Mm. Well, I know. You pointed that straight away, Steve. Mm. But it's funny when you ask other people, I thought you were all drunk. Obviously, I was looking through the eyes of a drunk man.
Yes, correct.
So you all seem drunk to me.
Yeah.
God, he's dragging me. I genuinely can't remember. Why does alcohol do that then? How does it wipe your memory?
I think it's just one of those things, you know. It's always done it.
It's a medical condition, though. I mean, it's a medical explanation for that. So it's neurons, isn't it?
Yeah, neurons, that's it.
In neurology, isn't it? So you're, what does it affect? So.
Oh, yeah, it's your synapses. Yeah, I blame the synapses.
I'll ask ChatGPT.
Right, brilliant.
How does
I forgot how wandering this podcast is.
You lose.
Where's Paddy? We need a producer.
Yeah. Right.
What have you asked ChatGPT?
Oh, yeah, of course it is. Yeah. So, yeah, alcohol affects memory and cognition through its impact on the brain and central nervous system. Disruption is still typing. Disruption of neurotransmitters. Alcohol affects various neurotransmitters in the brain, including gamma, antibiotic acid, whatever. Blackouts, excessive alcohol can lead to blackouts, which appears with time.
You were all of the above last night.
Yeah. Interference with sleep. I am tired. I think we may have to have a nap before we go to the Boom Bat Mall. Not together in the same bed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Toxic effects, interference with sleep. Yeah, but it's a bit of fun, though, isn't it? Yeah, it's all about that. It's always advisable to drink alcohol in moderation or abstain altogether to minimise potential negative effects. Look at you.
What would you know, ChatGPT?
Sermon. Give me a sermon on your pious ways.
I wonder what will happen when AI starts getting interfering with. Oh, sorry, sponsorship starts interfering with AI. That's where it'll start getting annoying because then you're not.
What do you mean?
Wow.
What, influencing the...
Yeah. So, say, for example, you asked that, then at the end it said, we recommend you take these tablets from...
Oh, yeah.
Commercialising it.
So that's why Wikipedia always asks for donations, don't they? Because
so it doesn't
they don't
that,
want, you know, sort of Nike sponsoring them or some company sponsoring where they can't write negative stuff on Nike or they can't say the facts on Nike, where Nike will just say, no, we don't want that included in our bio, please, because it's not a good part of our history. So they haven't got any influence over. So, yeah, maybe, but that's the thing. They're commercial enterprises. Companies starting these AI, they are commercial enterprises. So it can be, in fact, sort of swayed, can't it?
Well, of course. Well, as soon as the voice assistants become so, Amazon and Alexa and Google and Google's whatever there is their Home. Assistant is Home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, it's going to influence the sales of things that their sponsors are involved in.
Yes. Okay. What do you think of final thing? What do you think of the inflation figures, boys? That's the trouble with AI. That's the trouble with AI. It doesn't have any fun, does it?
No.
It doesn't care either.
No.
It's like, you know, you have a few drinks, go for a boom battle bar. AI doesn't need that.
No.
It doesn't want fun.
What was your take on inflation?
Hang on. Do you ever have any fun? And check the chat BDT. Do you ever have any fun? Oh, it's going to be. As an AI language model, I don't have personal experiences or emotions like humans do, so I don't have the capacity to feel fun in the same way. However, I'm programmed to assist and provide helpful and informative responses. The thing is, it doesn't care if it's informative. It's programmed to do that, but it doesn't really get sad. When you help someone out, you feel satisfaction, don't you?
Yeah.
If you help someone, AI doesn't care. Hello, Luli.
That makes no sense to anybody listening.
That's my dog.
Right.
What were you saying then?
Nothing.
Should we go then?
Yeah.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.